We are holding on Pehe Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hashoich benimtis treif, if a person shechts an animal and turns out to be treif, v'ashoich labiris chachovim, or he shechts an animal in honor of a redizara, which so far in both of those cases, the animal would be osur to eat, and when it was for a redizara, actually it would even be osur b'hana. V'ashoich chulin b'snim v'kodshim b'chutz, or he shechted an animal chulin inside the azara, or kodsh, or an animal kodsh from outside the azara, both of which again are also to eat and also b'ana, or chayav oifan iskolim. Or fifth case would be if he shechted an animal or a bird that has to be stoned because they kill the person, and the Torah tells us that they have to be stoned, and that once there's gemar din, once the decision has been reached by Beis Din that they have to be executed, then they're also b'ana even if they're shechted. So in all those cases, Rav Meir v'chayev v'cham poitrin. Rav Meir says that you're still chayev in kisi adam in all those five cases, and the chachamim would say you're poitrin, for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara. Hashoch b'nisnab l'biyadeh, on the other hand, a person shechts, and it turns out to be nevela, he botched the shchita, so it wasn't a proper shchita. So in the first cases, the first half of the mission of the shchita itself was proper, but there was a side problem. It was the animal was a treifer, or it was for avodah zarah, etc. In this case, the shchita itself was no good. Or hanoicher v'ma'aker, or a person did noicher v'ma'aker, which are two ways of killing an animal without shchita. We've discussed before, noicher may mean ripping, cutting beginning from the nostrils and working backward. It may mean stabbing, it may mean making a hole, whatever. And ma'aker means ripping out the simonim. Then potter malachasa, sending potter from covering the blood according to everybody, because even Rav Meir, who says he's chayiv in previous cases, will say he's potter in these cases because there's no shchita at all. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Chiya v'Abba Amar Rav Yechanan. Now we had this discussion about shechting, for example, for shechting for avodah zarah, or shechting other cases, shechting chayav oifan iskolim, things that are also b'ana. We had that in the previous parak in connection with oisav es b'noi. And there we had Rav Shimon saying that those are not considered a valid shechita because you can't eat them. And we had the Chachamim saying that you could. Here we have Rav Meir saying that it's considered a valid shechita and you have to do kisei adam. And you have the Chachamim saying no. So who are the Chachamim in the respective cases? Amar Rav Chiya v'Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Ra Rebbe Dvarav Shal Rav Meir v'Oisav es b'noi. When it comes to the case of Oisav es b'noi in the previous parak, Rebbe found it more logical to follow Rav Meir's opinion. Therefore, Shnoi v'Loshen Chachamim. Therefore, he teaches it in the Mishnah under the name of the Chachamim. In general, when we have the Chachamim arguing against somebody, usually the implication is that the halacha is like the Chachamim. So over there, Rebbe preferred Rav Meir's opinion for reasons that we're going to discuss soon, that when it comes to Oisav es b'noi, it's more logical to say that it doesn't matter whether the shchita is matir the animal to eat or not. Either way, it is a shchita, and therefore Rebbe calls it over there Chachamim, as against Rav Shimon. On the other hand, Rebbe preferred and found it more logical to follow Rav Shimon's opinion when it comes to Kisi Adam. In our Mishnah, Ushnoi B'Loshon Chachamim. Therefore, in our Mishnah, he teaches Rav Shimon's opinion as the Chachamim. In other words, really what it is, Rav Meir would say in both cases, with Oisav es b'noi and with Kisi Adam, both of them, Rav Meir would say, it is a fully valid shchita. That's not master the animal to be eaten, obviously, but it is valid insofar as that you can't shech the mother or the baby on the same day, and that if it's a chayer or an oif, you do have to cover the blood. Rav Shimon would say in both cases, it's not considered a valid shchita because you can't eat it. So why is it we're saying that in the previous parak we have the Chachamim are saying, and that's the halacha, that with Oisav es b'noi, it doesn't matter whether you can eat the animal or not, whereas by Kisi Adam over here, we're saying the Chachamim say, and again, the halacha is like them, that it does matter because Rebbe picked and chose, Rebbe found Reb Meir's view more logical over there and Reb Shimon's view more logical over here. So let's discuss why they have their respective opinions, Reb Shimon and Reb Meir, and then we'll get from that why Rebbe picked and chose in each place which opinion to follow. So, my time is Rav Meir, but Oisav es b'noi. So let's start with why, when it comes to Oisav es b'noi, does Rav Meir hold that whether it's a shchita ra'uya or not, whether it's a shchita that makes the animal suitable to be eaten or not, that it's a valid shchita, and therefore that you can't shech the other one of the pair, the mother or the daughter, that same day. The reason is, because Rav Meir is doing a gzeira shava on the basis of the word shchita, b'shochat, or whatever, that it mentions by loisishchatu b'yamechad, by Eisav Esbenoi, versus asher yishchat shere kesev, when it comes to shchut echutz, shechet and karbonis outside the Azara, where, ma hosu shchita sheiner u'ya shma shchita. Now over there, it is, by definition, it's a shchita sheiner u'ya, because you shecht karbon, you shecht an animal, kardashim, outside the Azara, you can't eat it. The person himself who did it as chayiv karis, or as chayiv karis, or chatas if he did it b'shogig, and the animal itself is also to eat. So therefore, he's learning from that. Apachanami shchita sheiner u'ya shma shchita. So the same thing he says by Osev Esbenoi, when it says that lois tishchatu, that you're not allowed to shecht them on the same day, same thing, doesn't matter for our purposes whether it's a shchita that's ru'uya or not, either way, you can learn from it. And therefore, you can say that even if it's not roy, nevertheless, it is a shchita, and therefore that prevents you from shechting the other one of the pair of mother and daughter on the same day. Okay, that's Reb Meir. Reb Shimon, my time. But what about what's Reb Shimon's reason to disagree with that? Reb Mani ba Patish, because Reb Shimon has a different kavach, a different zeh shava. Goma mitzvoyach tevach lahochen. Instead of learning from shchut echutz, instead Reb Shimon is learning from a pasuk in Parshas Mikates, where Yosef has his brothers by him for the second time without them knowing that he's Yosef. And he says to the person in charge of his household, shecht an animal and prepare it for them because we're going to be eating together. I'm going to be inviting them for lunch. So malahal and shchita ru'uya. So over there it was a shchita ru'uya because they were able to eat it. In fact, the pasuk continues, ki iti yoichlu, they're going to be eating with me. Actually, Rashi on the pasuk points out from the Medrash that when he says "tvoyach tevach v'hochein," it means that he's telling this person, this person is actually Menashe. Again, the brothers obviously didn't know any of this, but he's showing them, he's telling them, show them that it is a proper shchita, because even though it was before Matan Torah, they're still keeping the Torah, that the Gidah Noshe has been taken out, etc. So yeah, it was a proper shchita. So therefore, Rav Shimon is learning from that. It was a shchita ru'uya, afkan shchita ru'uya. So the same thing over here, the shchita has to be one that makes the animal suitable to eat, which is the case, which is not the case, for example, if it's chulin in the Azara, or shechting for our Azara, etc. And therefore, Rav Shimon says that therefore, Osev Esbenoi doesn't apply to them. Okay, so the question is, why does each one have their own gzera shava and not accept the other one? But a meir nami ligma mitzvayach. Why doesn't a meir learn from that pasuk tvayach tevach lahachin? Why does he insist on learning from shchut echutz? The reason is because he'll answer, don in shchita mishchita, vein don in shchita mitzvicha. Because by tvayach tevach, by the story of Yosef and his brothers, it doesn't use the verb shochat. It uses the verb tabach. It uses a different verb, tabach. Okay, it means the same thing, but it's still different words. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, Reb Meir says, rather, how can you make a gzera shava from that? Instead, we're going to learn from someplace else where it says the verb shochat, namely shchut echutz. So the question is, ma nakimina, why should we care? So what? You can do a gzera shava from words that are different as long as they have the same meaning. Hatona dveira bishma v'shava koyin avar koyin zuri shiva zuri bia. We find that a braita of the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel explains that we have by tzaraas of houses, it describes over there how the Kohen comes back, finds that the tzaraas is spread and tears down the house, but you actually have one time it mentions he comes back after the first week, it says the Shava Kohen, that he returns and finds that the tzaraas has spread, and another time it says after another week it says Uvaha Kohen, the Kohen comes, and we learn from that Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia, we make a Zeta Shava between Shiva and Bia, which means, in other words, that's not necessarily that he tears down the house out as soon as the tzaraas spreads. After the first week, depending on the situation, he has to scrape off the plaster and replace the stones, etc. The same thing, that may be the case after the second week as well. So it's the point is we make a gzera shava between the word shav and the word ba. So the same thing. Why does your mayor have a problem with making zeder shava between shochat and tovach? The answer is fine. Hani mila heichad deleka de dummy light. Fine. The mayor will say though that only applies when you don't have another similar word available to make a zeder shava with. Over there, by saras and houses, you have no choice. By one it says the shav, by the other it says uva. So of necessity, you have to make a zeder shava between them. Aval ikad de dummy light. But when you have a similar word, When you have the same word in a context that can be used for a gzera shava, better we should be learning from the one to which it's more similar. So better we should be learning shchita from shchita rather than shchita from tevicha. So therefore, again, Reb Meir says that we're going to learn from shchut echutz. we're there by definition, shchita shein ru'uya, because you can't eat the animal. And therefore, he says that means that doesn't matter whether it's a shchita ru'uya or not. Either way, it applies by Oitzav Eskenaz.
Okay.
What about the other way around? Rav Shimon Nami Ligmi Meshchot Echot. What does Rav Shimon answer to that? Why doesn't he learn from Meshchot Echot? Why does he learn from Yosef and his brothers? Because he says, on the other hand, don in cholin mecholin, vein don in cholin mekodshim. Because on the other hand, it's more, yes, I agree that you want to learn a Gzeta Shava from something more similar. But cholin is more similar to cholin. You shouldn't be learning cholin from kodshim. Shchot Echot involves kodshim. Oisev es b'noi doesn't necessarily involve kodshim. It involves cholin as well. The dinim of oisev es b'noi, as we learned in the previous parak, also applies to cholin. And in fact, Tosfos points out, I mean, the fact of the matter is, we learned in the previous parak, even though the pasuk of Oisav es b'noi is in a context that the psukim before and after it are talking about kodshim, the actual pasuk itself, we started saying, is actually implying that it applies only to cholin. And then, because you have a vav at the beginning of it, and therefore it applies to kodshim as well. So Rav Shimon says, fundamentally, Oisav es b'noi is a cholin thing, so you shouldn't be learning it from kodshim. There, Rav Meir, what would Rav Meir answer to that? He would say, okay, but the bottom line, doesn't Oisav es b'noi also apply to kodshim as well? Sure it does. Okay, mainly the pasuk is talking about cholin. But the fact of the matter is, the halacha, the din of Oisav es b'noi does apply, as we learned in the previous parak, if one or both members of the pair, the mother and the daughter, are kodshim as well. So therefore, there's no reason to say that we shouldn't be learning from kodshim from shchot echot. So because Rav Meir seems to have the better of the argument, that is why Rav Chiya is telling us, that is why Rebbe considered Rav Meir to have the better of the argument when it comes to Oisav es b'noi, and therefore he put his opinion in the Mishnah as the opinion of the Chachamim, to imply that the halacha is like him against Rav Shimon. Tosfos does point out that it's true. Even Rav Shimon would agree that if you have someplace better to learn from, that which we do in other contexts than Shas, then yeah, we're not going to learn from something before Matan Torah, which is the story of Yosef and his brothers. But over here, Rav Shimon feels that we don't have a choice. We have to learn from this case, and therefore it means that it has to be a Shchita Ruya. Okay. That's as far as Oisav es b'noi. Next, my time as Rav Meir b'Kisei Adam. Next, let's move on to Kisei Adam, or Perek, or Mishnah. Why does Rav Meir, first of all, say that it doesn't matter whether it's Shchita Ru'uya or not, which is why he said, even if the animal Trefa, it was Shechted, Prava, Dezara, etc., that it's still considered a Shchita and you have to do Kisei Adam? The answer is, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, another Gzeira Shava, Goma Shficha Shficha Mishchot Echot. Because Rav Meir was learning a Gzeira Shava of the word Shficha from the case of Shchot Echot. By Kisei Adam, the pasuk says, V'shofach es domei v'chisahu ba'ofer, that he should spill out the blood and cover it with dirt. By Shchot Echot, it says, Dom shofach, that a person who shechts kodshim outside the Azara is as if he spilled blood, and therefore he's guilty of a serious avera. So that, Zerah Shava teaches us, Malahal and Shchita Sheiner Uya Shmo Shchita. Again, Shchot Echot, by definition, is a Shchita Sheiner Uya, because you can't eat the animal. So the same will apply as far as Kisei Adam, says Rav Meir. V'Rav Shimon, what will Rav Shimon answer to that? He says, sure, okay, you have a Gzeira Shava, very nice, but the fact is, I'll show you Ochel Ksiv. Still, the pasuk about Kisei Adam says that if you're going to shecht a wild animal or a bird, I'll show you Ochel, which can be eaten, implying that it has to be able to be eaten afterwards. And that's not the case in any of the cases of our Mishnah. There, Rav Meir, so what would Rav Meir answer to that? He would say, Hahulam Uti Oif Tomehu Da'asa. Rav Meir would say, that those words are just coming to tell us that you don't have to do Kisei Adam if you shecht an owl or a raven or an ostrich or what have you, then you don't have to cover its blood. But not necessarily to say anything, but within kosher of birds, your mayor says it doesn't matter whether you can eat it or not. The pasuk is talking about the species.
Well, that's the thing.
That's what we're discussing. Your mayor is saying, I don't care whether it's also b'hanah, or I don't care whether it's also b'achila. Either way, as long as it's a species that you have to cover the blood, then you have to cover the blood, as long as the shchita in and of itself was valid. So therefore, sort of mayor is going to agree, fine, if you shechted a non-kosher species, then you don't have to cover the blood. But as long as it was a kosher species, I don't care whether you can eat it or not afterwards. Rav Shimon. What does Rav Shimon answer to that? He says, okay, but you have to think of the logic of it. Ois tome my time. Why is it indeed, what would be the logic to say that you shouldn't have to cover the blood of a non-kosher species of bird that you shechted or killed or whatever? Obviously, the logical reason to la bar chilahu, because you can't eat it anyway, so why should you have to do kisi adam? Well, then, treifa nami la bar chilahu. Nu, a treifa, and all the other cases of our Mishnah, you can't eat either. So that, again, here Rav Shimon seems to have the better of the argument. So again, that's why Rav Chiya says, in this case, in our case, Rebbe found Rav Shimon's opinion to be the more logical one, the more well-founded one logically, because he has a better answer against Rav Meir based on the word asher ye'ochel, and therefore he established it in our Mishnah as the words of the Chachamim implying that the halacha is like it. And that's how it is, therefore. So when it comes to Oisiv Es B'noi, the halacha is it doesn't matter whether it's a shchiter or oyer or not. When it comes to Kisi Adam, it matters. So we're paskening in the previous parak like Rav Meir, and in our parak, we're paskening like Rav Shimon. Okay. Amar Rav Abba, so Rav Abba says in this connection, now, we have this machlokas of Rav Meir and Rav Shimon, and remember, the bottom line is, we're saying, according to Rav Meir, we always look at the shchita, we always say we don't care whether the shchita is roy or not. Either way, a shchita is a shchita. And Rav Shimon is always saying we look at whether it's a shchita roya and determine on that basis what the dinim are. But Rav Abba points out, loy lakoil omer Rav Meir shchita shener roya shma shchita. It's not as far as all cases throughout the Torah, throughout Halacha, where Rav Meir is going to say that even though it was a shchita shener roya, that it'll still be considered a valid shchita. Because after all, Moedir Rav Meir, Shein Machidosa Ba'achila. Because after all, Rav Meir does agree that the shchita of an animal that's not roi is not going to be machidosa to eat. Meaning, now, on the face of it, what Rav Abba is saying seems like a very obvious statement that he's saying, for example, let's say if you shech the terefa, then Rav Meir agrees you can't eat it. So the Gemara is going to ask soon, well, Rav Abba doesn't need to tell us that. That's basic stuff. So we'll see in a second what Rav Abba's point is that. And similarly, v'loy lakoil omer Rav Shimon, similarly, continues Rav Abba, it's not regarding everything that Rav Shimon says, shchita sheinu ru'uya, loy shma shchita. This that Rav Shimon says, that a shchita sheinu ru'uya is not a valid shchita, is not as far as everything. In fact, moizer Rav Shimon shema tahauti midei nevela. Because after all, Rav Shimon does agree that shechting an animal that is otherwise going to be also to eat, for example, a trefa, does take away the tumas nevela that it would have otherwise had. Like this, if you hadn't shechted it properly, it would, as a dead animal, it would be matame. If you touched it, you carried it, you become tame. Like this, the shchita takes that away, even though the animal itself is not mutter to eat. So there is an area in which Rav Meir agrees that the shchita is considered invalid in the sense that you can't eat the animal that's also to eat. And there's a sense in which Rav Shimon agrees that it is considered a valid shchita, namely that the tumah of nevela goes away.
So even if it's a
trace
species?
So even if it's a trace, well, not a trace species. No, a trace species, shchita is not really relevant to. So a trace species, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, that even if you shecht it, even if you follow the rules of shchita, that doesn't matter. What we mean is, Rav Shimon is saying, in the cases, for example, like the cases of our Mishnah, where the animal was trefa, as in it's from a kosher species, but it has a fatal defect, or it was shechted for avodah zarah, it was shechted chulin bazarah, etc. Rav Shimon is going to say that nevertheless the animal is not tomei tumas nevela, even though you can't eat it.
So the shchita helps at least as far as that, exactly.
Okay, so now let's analyze what Rav Abba said. Omer Meir, lo lakol omer Rav Meir shchita shener uya shmo shchita. We said that Rav Meir doesn't say as far as everything in Torah that a shchita shener uya is a valid shchita, because after all, moed Rav Meir shen matzid osa ba'achila, because Rav Meir agrees that you can't eat it. So the question is shchita. Isn't that obvious? Treifa b'shchita min ishtarya. You can't be matzid a treifa animal, a treifa individual, that is not a species, but a treifa individual animal. You can't be matzid it to eat by shchita. What does Rav Abba need to inform us? The answer is, the answer is, you're right, we didn't need Rav Abba's statement in the general sense, because obviously we know that full well. The chiddush in Rav Abba's statement is, the case would be, suppose you shechted a trefa mother animal, and you found in it a live baby that has been in there for a full 9-month pregnancy. Now we learned in the previous parak actually that Rav Meir hold. We learned in the previous parak that actually Rav Meir would hold that such an animal requires its own shchita. So the point is, if you didn't have Rav Abba's statement where he says that Rav Meir agrees that the shchita is not matir to eat, you would think like this. Given that Rav Meir is saying, I don't care whether the shchita is roi or not, either way a shchita is a shchita, you would think, therefore, maybe the shchita of the mother should be effective for it, the lowly boy shchita, and it should not require, the baby, therefore, should not require its own shchita. Kamash Malon, that is why Rav Abba wants to inform us that even Rav Meir is not going to say that. So the question is, what do you mean? Of course Rav Meir, would say it needs its own shchita. The Kispara, how could you possibly think that's the meaning of it? We learned two prakim ago, and then the perek where we had all the dinim about, in the fourth perek where we had all the dinim about ben pakur, about a live baby found in the womb after the shchita. We said Rav Meir says that if the animal has been that if the baby is alive over there after a full term pregnancy, you do have to shecht it. The Chachamim over there said that in principle you don't. As long as you found it inside the womb and it didn't actually exit the womb before the shchita, then the Chachamim say that the mother's shchita is matre. Rav Meir anyway disagreed and said that you have to shech the baby whether the mother was trefa or not. So why would we think over here all of a sudden that Rav Meir would say that it shouldn't require its own shchita, such that Rav Abba has to tell us not? The answer is, Loi tzricha de Rebbe sovalak Rav Meir v'sovalak Rabbanim. True. But the reason why we need Rav Abba to be informing us is because, after all, we said before on Amud Aleph, we said that Rebbe in certain ways holds like Rav Meir, but he also in other ways holds like the other Chachamim who disagree with Rav Meir. Namely, Savolak Rav Meir Dama Shchita Shein Ruya Shma Shchita. We said that Rebbe agrees with Rav Meir that, at least as far as Oysev Espinoi, that the Shchita Shein Ruya is a valid Shchita. But on the other hand, the Sova Lok Rabbanon, the Amish, the Amri Shchitas Imimitahauter. On the other hand, we do also know that Rebbe agrees with the Chachamim who disagree with Rav Meir on the general case of when you find a live baby in the womb. Because again, we had over there a machlokas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim. The fact that the Mishnah presents the opposing opinion as the Chachamim implies that Rebbe agreed with it. And the Rabbanon over there say that the Chachamim over there said in the Mishnah, specifically it was Rabbi Huda we said over there, said that when you find a live baby in the womb, it could be mutter with the mother's shchita, provided that the mother herself was mutter to eat. Because we said over there, effectively what you could do to be master of this baby, you could either shech the two simonim of the mother, and automatically the baby is mutter, or you could instead just shech the two simonim of the baby, and then deal with the mother separately. Therefore, given the Omer Rabbanon Shchitas Imim Etahartoi, now, so you would think, given that the Rabbanon say in the general case that the Shchita of the mother is Metaher, the baby, such that the baby does not need its own Shchita, so you would think in our case over here, where the mother was a Trefa, you would think the same thing. Tahani Le Shchitas Imim, you would think maybe the Shchita of the mother should help for it. Fine, the Shchita can't make the mother herself mutter to eat because she's a Trefa. But on the other hand, the baby is not a trefa, and at this point, he's not really considered yerech imayhu anymore. He's not really considered a part of his mother anymore, because Tosfos points out, because at this point, his life force doesn't really depend on his mother. He's already a full term baby. He could have been born any time. So you would think, therefore, that the shchita of the mother should help, v'loy v'boy shchita, therefore the baby should not require shchita. Kamash Malon, that is the point Rav Abba is trying to get at. That in this case, because Rav Meir is going to say, meaning not only Rav Meir himself, but even Rebbe, who partially holds that Rav Meir, is still going to say that if you found a live baby in the womb, a full nine month term baby after you shechted the mother, and the mother herself would have been mutter to eat, then sure, the shchita helps for the baby as well. Rav Meir disagrees with that, but Rebbe, who partially holds like Rav Meir, would agree with that. But when the mother is trefa, even Rebbe is not going to say that. We're not going to say that anybody who agrees with Rav Meir is going to say that. The shchita of the mother is not considered a valid shchita because, after all, the mother is a trefa. So the only thing you can do is shech the baby at that point. So that's the point. That when we say that when Rav Abba is saying, Rav Meir says, even though usually he holds shchita sheiner uya shma shchita, Rav Meir would agree though, and anybody who agrees with Rav Meir, such as Rebbe, would say that if the mother was a trefa, then the shchita does not help for the baby. which actually Tosfos points out, and other Rishonim also point out, that if the baby was not full term yet, or if it was found dead in the womb, then obviously then there's no chiddushin. If the mother is treifa, then surely the baby is considered part of her and would be treifa as well. The chiddush is where the baby is alive, where again, Reb Meir will say that in any case, the baby always requires shchita, but even the Chachamim who disagree with Reb Meir will say that the shchita of the mother can help for the baby only if she herself was not a treifa. So that's Reb Abba's point. Okay. Then we said, V'loy l'koil omer Reb Shimon shchita shein ru'uya loy shma shchita. Then Reb Abba's second part of his statement was that even though Reb Shimon usually says that shchita shein ru'uya is not a shchita, which is again why he says by Oseves Benoy that it doesn't matter, you can shech the other one of the payer the same day, and by Kisi Adam he says it doesn't matter and you don't have to do Kisi Adam, but he says not for all purposes does Reb Shimon say shchita shein ru'uya is not shchita. Namely that Reb Shimon holds that the shchita is effective at least insofar as it takes away Tumas Nevela. So again, the question is pshita. Isn't that obvious? We know already from another source that the shchita of an animal that's treifa does take away the Tumas Nevela. Yeah? And we know that the Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, the Amri Lav Masnita Toner, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, or some say we learn in a Braisa, that when the pasuk says v'chiyamus min habehema, when the pasuk says if there dies from among the animals, and the continuation of the pasuk is that if we're talking about an animal that's of a kosher species, if it dies without shchita, then it has tumas nevela. But the word min habehema, which is a miut, it means only some kinds, niktas behema matama or miktas behema ezem eina matama, only some kinds of animals that are of a kosher species but can't be eaten are matame, and some of them are not, the ezu, and what kind is the kind that's not matame? Zu trefa shashachta. That would be the case of a trefa animal that was shechted. So we know already that if you have a trefa animal and you shecht it, then it's not matame tumas nevela. And everybody agrees to that. Why does Rav Abba have to inform us that Rav Shimon agrees with it as well? The reason is, lo tzricha, yes, but the reason why, the only reason we needed Rav Abba to tell us what he says is, l'shoicha tesat treifa v'hi chulin ba'azora. The scenario would be, suppose that the animal is a treifa, and there's another, on top of that also, it was chulin, and it was shechted in the azora of the Beit Mikdash. Where then we need to be told that Reb Shimon would say that it's still that it doesn't have Tumas Nevela. Now, why is that? Let's work that out. D'tanya, we learn in a brayta, hashoichet es hatshefa, if somebody shechs an animal which is shefa, v'chein hashoichet gnimtis shefa, or another scenario could be you shecht it and then you discover it's a shefa. The first case, hashoichet shefa, means that you know already the animal is shefa. Rashi gives an example. Let's say that it had its legs chopped off. We learned previously in the third parak of Ar Masechta that there are cases, and actually in the fourth parak more, that there are cases where if the leg is chopped off above a certain point, then the animal is treifa, chopped off or missing congenitally or whatever, doesn't really matter for our purposes. So there you have, it's blatantly obvious. When you look at the animal while it's alive, you already know that it is treifa. The other case, the nimtzis treifa, would be that you shech the animal and then all of a sudden you discover, you check the lungs or what have you, and you find that it's a treifa. So in either case, zev zeh chulin ba'azara, in both cases, on top of that, this animal that was a treifa was chulin, and it was shechted in the azara. So, normally, chulin that are shechted in the azara are usually also b'hana. But over here, Reb Shimon matir b'hana b'chachamim oisrim. Reb Shimon says it is mutir b'hana. Why? Again, shchita shein ru'uya lo shma shchita. So therefore, Reb Shimon will say, effectively, because this animal is treifa, whether visibly or not, you can't eat it anyway, even if it hadn't been cholin ba'azara. Therefore, Reb Shimon says, again, following his own shita, it's not a shchita ru'uya, so therefore you can't call it cholin shenishchatu ba'azara. Therefore, it can be mutar ba'ana. V'chamim oisrim, whereas the chachamim who disagree and say that shchita shein ru'uya is still a valid shchita, so it's cholin that was shechted in the azara. So now comes the point why Reb Abba needs to tell us what he was saying. Now we have to say like this. We might have thought to say, given that Rav Shimon is telling us then that this animal that was shechted, even though it's cholin ba'azara, and normally it would be osa ba'ana, but here he's saying it's mutar ba'ana because it was also a treifa. So it's almost like, by the way, it comes out according to Rav Shimon, sort of, that you have the two negatives combined together to make a positive over here. You can't eat it, but nevertheless, it's not also as it would have otherwise been if you only had the one negative of chulin ba'azara. So once Rav Shimon is saying that, alma lav shchita hi klal, so that means apparently Rav Shimon doesn't consider that to be a shchita at all. Therefore, maybe if it's not considered a shchita at all, then it's not even considered the case. And it's not even considered the kind of shchita that would take away the tumas nevela. Maybe we would consider it like a non-shchita at all, as if like he stabbed the animal or whatever. Kamash malon. That is why Rav Abba has to tell us that no, Rav Shimon will say, as far as the shchita, it is a shchita as far as that it takes away tumas nevela. It's not a shchita as far as the issue of shechting cholin ba'azara, and therefore it's not also b'ana as normal cholin ba'azara would be. By the way, I mean, you know, if people want to ask questions, if I'm not making it clear, you know, usually we have a lot more questions, of course, but nonetheless, you know. Fine. Amalei Rapapa Labaya. So now, though, Rapapa asks Abaya, the premise of what we just said, that Rav Shimon says that a treifa animal that was shechted as cholin ba'azara, the premise of that seems to be that Rav Shimon would hold that this whole concept of cholin shenishchatu ba'azara being osur, it sounds like Rav Shimon is saying it's daraisa. So that's the question. Amalei Rapapa Labaya, v'sover Rav Shimon cholin ba'azara daraisa hi. Does that imply that Rav Shimon hold that cholin that are shechted in the azara are also on a daraisa level? Now, how do we get that? How do we get that from this previous discussion? So Rashi explains like this. If you were going to say that, if you argued that the whole concept of it is only drabbanon, and the reason is, and the reason why we make them also b'hana is because, so what could happen? Let's consider a second. Cholin that you shecht in the azara, there's two possibilities. One possibility is it's also daraisa. If it's also daraisa, then there's nothing to talk about. It's deris hakasuv, and that's that. But if we say that it's also drabbanon, what would be a logical reason to say that cholin shenishchatu ba'azara are also to eat? A logical reason would be, because what happens? The person is going to shecht cholin mi'azara, then they're going to take that meat home to wherever they live, where to outside your shalayim, even, let's say, and they're going to eat it there, and people are going to think that you're allowed to eat kodshim outside the basement, outside your shalayim, because they're not going to realize that these weren't kodshim. So according to Rashi, the question is, therefore, since we're seeing that Rav Shimon is saying, I don't care whether it's a shchitter or Rav Shimon is saying that I care whether it's a shchitter or uya or not. If it's a shchitter shener or uya, if it was a trefa, then Rav Shimon is saying it's allowed. Now, if it was a gzera drabanan, what's the difference? Either way, whether it's a shchitter or uya or not, people are going to see that you're having hana from it outside your shalayim, and people are going to think that you're allowed to have hana from kodshim, that apostle, which you're also not allowed to do. So
those people are not going to know where you shechted your chulin.
They might. They could see that you shechted it in the azara. Yeah, they could see that you shechted it in the azara, let's say, and later on they see that you're doing whatever. They see, let's say, you know, it's okay, it's treifa, so you can't eat it. So you're feeding it to dogs, or you're giving it to goyim or whatever outside your shalayim, or even in your shalayim for that matter. The point is that they're going to think that kodshim that apostle, in this case, fine, they know the animal is a treifa, but they're going to think that kodshim that apostle, you're allowed to do such things with, where in fact that's not true. Actual kodshim that apostle are also b'ana. So if you say it's drabanan, then Rav Shimon shouldn't be caring whether it's a shchita or uya or not. Either way, you'd still have the same problem that people are going to be tripped up. So the fact that Rav Shimon makes that distinction and says that I don't care whether it's a shchita or uya or not, either way, or he says if it's a shchita shena or uya, if the animal is treifa, then you're allowed to have hana from it. that must imply, therefore, that Rav Shimon is saying that the issue is Daraisa. Because Daraisa, so fine, the Torah doesn't have to, Hashem in the Torah can decide what needs to be also and what needs to be mutter. It's not like when the Chachamim make it Zera, they usually try to make it consistent. So that's one way of explaining. That's one way of explaining how we see from this discussion that Rav Shimon says that Rav Shimon seems to be saying that Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azara are Daraisa. The Baal Amar gives a different answer, which is that since the Gemara is going to go on to say that Chulin Shenishchatu Ba'azara have to be burnt, then we would say if it's Daraisa, then they're fine across the board. They have to be burnt. If it was Dirabanan, then why would we say in all cases that they need to be burnt? Okay. So anyway, so does Rav Shimon actually hold that Chulin Ba'azara is Daraisa? Amalei ain't. So he says yes. As a matter of fact, yes, Rav Shimon does hold that. V'hotnan, and indeed we learn a Mishnah to that effect. Rav Shimon Omer Chulin Shin. What the Baal Amar says is that
we said there's no distinction whether it was visibly treifer or not before the shechita. That's the key thing. In other words, if we said it's daraisa, then fine. You're not necessarily going to make such a distinction. If it was derabanan, you should argue that if it's visibly treifer from beforehand, people are going to realize it wasn't kadoshim. Okay. Anyway, the point is that we see evidently Rav Shimon hold that Cholin Shenishchatu Ba'azara are also on a Daraisa level. So Rabbi says, yes, V'hotnan, and indeed, we learn in a Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer Cholin Shenishchatu Ba'azara Yisorfu Ba'esh, that Cholin that was shechted in the Azara have to be burnt in fire, because they're also Ba'ana. V'chein Chaya Shenishchatu Ba'azara, and the same thing would also be true if it was a wild animal that was shechted in the Azara, even though wild animals, of course, everybody realizes, cannot be used as korbanos. So therefore, that proves, if you say that the whole concept of the issue of it is daraisa, gazrin and chaya alter behema. Well, that would explain why the midaraisa, we would say the concept of cholin shenishchatu ba'azara only applies to a behema. And we would say the chachamim extended it to a chaya as well, because even though a chaya is obviously not kodshim, but we might make a zera. Rashi says it's not really a gzera per se. Rashi learns that what we mean is that it's not really the gazrinan. We, the chachamim, are not really making a gzera. What Rashi explains, what the Gemara means is that if the Torah hadn't said that the chaya that was shechted in the Azara is also ba'ana, then the chachamim would have found the need to do that. As it is, the Torah itself included it. So that's logical if it's all on a daraisa level. Eli am derabbanan, but if you say the whole concept of an animal that's shechted in the Azara being osur is only derabbanan, Eli am derabbanan, behema my timer. After all, what's the reason why you're asking an animal that was shechted in the Azara? Is dilma osi lamechal kodshim b'chutz, because people may mistakenly end up eating kodshim outside your shalayim and not realize that this one wasn't kodshim. Well, then, in that case, he goof a gzera. In that case, the whole concept itself is only a gzera. Ba'anan nekum b'nigza gzera l'gzera. Would we go and make a gzera to protect a gzera? The Chachamim don't do that. So if the original issue was the Rabbanan, then the Rabbanan would have just left it at that. Only behemoths, because after all, behemoths can be domestic animals, can be brought as korbanos, and therefore there's a real possibility that people may think that they're going to see later on, you shechted this animal in the Azara, and later on they see you eating it outside your shalayim, and they're going to think that you're allowed to do that. There would be no reason to make a zera on top of that. You're not allowed to do the same thing with a chaya, because people may confuse a chaya with a behema, and then in turn, people may think that you're allowed to eat kodesh machot, because that would be a zera on top of a zera, and the chachamim don't do that. So obviously, therefore, that implies that Rav Shimon says that the original issue is daraisa. Once it's daraisa, then sure, it could include behemoths and chayas as well, because the Torah is saying a blanket statement that it applies to all cholin that are shechted in the Azara. Anything that could have been shechted outside the Azara should not be shechted, namely whether it's domestic or wild animals, should not be shechted in the Azara. And if it is, then it's also b'hanor. Okay, so far that's then as far as that discussion. So we've established that so far that Rav Meir and Rav Shimon argue about Shchita Sheinu Ra'uya in many different cases. including in the previous parak and in our parak. The halacha is like Reb Meir in the previous parak and like Reb Shimon in this one. However, there is a case where Reb Shimon says that the shchita does not help, namely where the mother was a trefa and you found a baby inside the womb, a 9-month baby inside the womb. And there's a case where Reb Shimon holds that the shchita is not considered, there's a case where Reb Shimon says that the shchita is a valid shchita as far as nevela, even when it's not considered a valid shchita as far as the dinim of as far as the dinim of chulin ba'azara, namely where the animal was trefa and was chulin and was shechted in the azara. Where Reb Shimon is not going to say that, Reb Shimon will say the animal is mutter b'hana, because that's not, as far as that's concerned, it's not considered a shchita, but it also doesn't have tumas nevela, because for that purpose it is considered shchita. New discussion. Reb Chiya Nafala Yaniva Bekitne. Reb Chiya had a problem. There were worms or moths or whatever eating his flax. So he had flax soaking in water. When you first harvest flax, you have to soak it in water for a while for the stems to rot away so you can take out the fibers. So while this flax of his was soaking, he had worms were getting into it and infesting it. Also a Kameder Rebbe, so Reb Chiya came to Rebbe to ask, what can he do about that? Amalei, so Rebbe tells him, Shkoil Oifa, take a bird, Ushkoit al Buvista Jamaya, shech the bird over the pit where the flax, over the water pit where the flax is soaking, Demorach Dama, the Shabbatle, because what will happen is the worms will smell the blood, and they'll get away from there, and they'll leave it alone because they don't like the smell of bird's blood. So that way it'll be an effective insect repellent. Now the problem with it is if it's a bird, you have to do kisei adam. So the question is, heichi ovid hochi? How could Rebbe tell Reb Chiya to do that? V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa, hashoichet v'tzarech l'adam, if somebody shechs a wild animal or a bird, even though he needs the blood, like in this case where he needs it as an insect repellent, Chayev l'chasek, he's still chayev to do kisei adam rather than using the blood for his purposes. Keitzad yasa, so what do you do in order to avoid that situation? Oy noichroi, oy oikroi. You have to do nechira or akira. Noichroi, again, cutting through the nose, or Rashi over here says, noichroi means chonko, you choke the animal, or whatever. The point is, you do something, you kill it some way other than shchita. So how is Rebbe telling Reb Chiya to shech this bird and then be able to use the blood as an insect repellent? Now, you have Mephoshim point out, maybe on the face of it, who says you need to do kisei adam with all the blood? Maybe you can use some of it for kisei adam and use the rest of it for your purposes. So some of the poskim say, in fact, you see from the Gemara that you have to cover as much of the blood as possible. And therefore, that's not an option. Others say it's not necessarily a proof. Maybe over here it was a bird that only has a small amount of blood, and therefore you need all of it as a repellent. Maybe it's only the first little bit that has that effect, etc. They also talk about conceivably could he have accomplished the same thing with a non-kosher species of bird. And again, one possibility is maybe not. Maybe in fact it only works with kosher species. But another possibility is that maybe yes, it could work with not. But Rebbe wanted to use the opportunity to teach Reb Chiya practical halacha that there's a way even with a bird that needs kisei adam to avoid it. But the question is how? You can't do it using shchita. So the answer is, he also Reb Dimi Omar, when Reb Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained that actually you got it wrong. Rebbe didn't tell him that he should shech the bird. Say treif omalei. What he actually told him is, go make the bird treifa and then shech it. Then it'll be shchita shein ruya. We said Rebbe agrees with Reb Shimon that shchita shein ruya is not shchita, that if you shech the treif, a bird where the individual bird is treifa, then you don't have to do kisei adam. So he tells him, first make it treifa, do something to it to wound it in some way that it will be considered a treifa, then shech it. He also, Robin Omar, when Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, a lot of times we find in Chas that Reb Dimi first would come and explain something, and later on Robin would come and further clarify or correct or whatever. So when Robin came, he said, say Nechir Omalei. Actually, what Rebbe told Reb Chiya is go do Nechira, go strangle or stab or whatever the bird. And therefore, it's not Shchita at all, and therefore, it's for sure doesn't require to say Adam according to anybody.
Is that problematic, though? You're making a perfectly good bird. I don't know, Baltashkas.
Well, that's true, and there is the point about Baltashkas, but over here, you're doing it for a constructive purpose because you need it. You need the blood for an insect repellent, so therefore, such a thing would be allowed.
And then you just get given to a guy or
something. Right, afterwards he'd give the meat to a guy or something, yeah. Okay. So, Lamanda Omatsei Troich, my time alay Omatsei Nechor. So the question is, we have Reb Dimi's version that he told them to first make the bird treifa and then do a regular shkita. We have Robin's version that he told them to do nechira. Why does Reb Dimi not accept Robin's version that he told him go do nechira? That according to Reb Dimi, it comes out a shkita still had to be done. You should just make it treifa first. V'chitema kasava en shkita lo'oif min atayra. So you're going to answer maybe because Reb Dimi holds that. That maybe Reb Dimi holds, or maybe he thinks that Rebbe held, that minatora birds don't require shchita, which we discussed in the second parak, that that point, whether minatora birds require shchita or whether they only require shchita midrabanan. And if you argue that they don't require shchita minatora, then you could argue unchirosa izui shchitase, then you could argue no matter how you kill it, it is considered shchita. So therefore, we could look at it that it wouldn't help. You'd still be required to do Kisi Adam on a Daraisa level if you did that. And therefore he tells him make it a Trefa first, which that way for sure, according to Reb Shimon at least, it's not a Shchita Ro'ya, even on a Daraisa level, because once it's Trefa, then it's also on a Daraisa level to eat. In other words, what we could say is there's two possibilities. Either you make it Trefa, which then definitely is also to eat Daraisa, and then you do Nechira, which maybe is a valid Shchita Daraisa or not for a bird. That's one possibility. The other possibility would be to do a Nechira, which may or may not be a valid Shchita on a Daraisa level. Now, if you do it the second way, maybe you'd have Dimi hold, that's no good, because you're still left with a suffix. Did you do something that's considered a Shchita on a Daraisa level? Maybe on a Daraisa level, you'd be allowed to eat this bird. Therefore, he's telling him, make it a Trefa first, to avoid that issue. Fine, it's true that by making it a Trefa, all you're accomplishing is according to Reb Shimon. Reb Meir would disagree with that. Fine, but at least since Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon, then at least that's the best option.
Does making a perfectly kosher animal, a Trefa, really count as making it a Trefa, meaning?
Yeah, in other words, if you were to go, for example, and if you were to go... No,
it
doesn't matter. I mean, a trefa is a trefa. If you go and, let's say, cut off its leg above a certain joint, or you do something else, so you make a hole in its stomach or whatever, yeah, it's just as much trefa as if it happened through a disease or through a predator or whatever. Yeah? Well, again, usually it would be tzar bala chayim, but in this case, Reb Dimi maybe holds that there's no other choice, because otherwise we can't be sure that you shouldn't have to do kisei adam. The problem with that is, Vahatanya, but we learn in a Braisa that Rebbe clearly does not hold like that. Rebbe Omer, Kasher Tzivisicha, Rebbe says that when it says in the Torah that you should shech as I command, as Shem says to Moshe, as I commanded you, Melamed Shem Tzava Moshe Ala Vesh Valachona, from there we learn that there was a Torah Shabbat Pei on this, which that Moshe was commanded that you have to shech the esophagus and the windpipe, and that with a bird you have to shech through at least the majority of one simen, and by an animal you have to shech through at least the majority of both. So therefore, the Rebbe obviously holds that birds require shechita min haTorah. So therefore, let Reb Dimi say the same as Robin, that all you have to do is do nechira, stab the bird or strangle it or whatever, and that also avoids the issue of having to. That also avoids the issue of having to do kisei adam. So why is Reb Dimi insisting that Rebbe said make it treif first? The answer is loymid boyakomer. You're right. Reb Dimi is not saying that you couldn't have done it Robin's way. He's just saying, I'm telling you even more so. Needless to say, loymid boyakomer nechor. Reb Dimi is saying like this. Needless to say, if Rebbe had told Reb Chiya, go do nechira, sure, it's a lot of shchita hikal. Obviously, nechira is not a shchita at all. So for sure, you wouldn't need kisi adam. Therefore, he'd be able to use the blood for his insect repellent. Avol seitroif, but you would think that if he told him to make it treif first and then shecht it, ema shchita sheiner uya shma shchita, you would think, nevertheless, it's true that shchita sheiner uya, because you can't eat the bird now because it's treifa, v'lidboi kisui, therefore you would think maybe after all, like Reb Meir says in our Mishnah, like Reb Meir says in our Mishnah, maybe it should require kisei adam, kamash malon, kidr Reb Chiya ba'aba, therefore, the Reb Dimi wants to inform us, like what Reb Chiya ba'aba said before, that we said that Rebbe follows Reb Shimon's opinion and calls it the opinion of the Chachamim when it comes to kisei adam, and that therefore that shchita shein ru'uya, when it comes to kisei adam, is not considered a valid shchita. So that's why Reb Dimi is saying the way he said it, say choice, because he wants to tell us a bigger chiddush. that even with Tzeis Reis, because Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon, that'll work. If Rebbe had not held like Reb Shimon, then you're right, it wouldn't work. Okay, what about now the other way around? Now let's turn the question around. Ravin, who says that Rebbe had told Reb Chiya, go do Nechira, why does he not say that he could have told him, go make a treifa, like the way Rav Gibby says? See, we're going to say maybe because Ravin holds that such a thing would still be a valid shchita after it's treifa, and that wouldn't work. And we said at the beginning of the sugya, we said that Rebbe agrees with Reb Shimon's logic when it comes to Kisi Adam, therefore he taught it in the Mishnah as the words of the Chachamim. So obviously Rebbe agrees with Reb Shimon. There's no possibility that he holds like Reb Meir that Shchita Sheni Ruya is Shema Shchita. So in that case, making it Treka and then Shechting it would be just as good, if not better, would be just as good as doing the Chira. So why isn't Ravin saying that way? And the answer is because also Loim Baya Kama. Ravin feels there's a bigger chiddush in the way he said it. Loim Baya Tzeitzroi Deshchita Shener Oyeloi Shema Shchita. Because he says, needless to say, if you make it Treifa first, of course you won't need to do Kisi Adam, because at this point it's a Shchita Shener Oya, and we know Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. Avot say nechir, but if he were to do nechira, you would think ema ein shchita la'oif min atara. You would think maybe Rebbe holds that birds don't require shchita on a daraita level. Unchirasa is uishchita. Say therefore nechira of a bird is functionally equivalent to shechting it. And liboy kisu, and in that case it should require to be covered. Kamash malon kasha tivisicha. Therefore, Robin is telling us no, because we know that there is a braisa that we just quoted before that says that Rebbe holds that the words kasha tivisicha teach us that Moshe was taught the halachas of shechting birds, and therefore, so Robin is saying that Robin considers that to be the bigger chiddush. That Rebbe, in other words, so Reb Dini is saying it's obvious that Rebbe holds birds require shchita. Therefore, the bigger chiddush is that Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. And Ravin takes the view the opposite way. It's obviously Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. There's no great chiddush in that. The chiddush is that he holds that birds require shchita min atarga. So both of them end up agreeing on the practical fact. Either way, you could accomplish this thing by making the bird treifa and then shechting it, and that wouldn't require kisi adam because it's shchita sheiner oya. You could equally well accomplish the same thing by doing nechira, and that would work because birds require shchita min atorah, and here you haven't had a shchita. But each one of them, Rav Dimi and Ravin, is mentioning the way in which they feel there's a bigger chiddush that stresses for us more what Rebbe's opinion is, which otherwise we might not have realized. So now the Gemara asks a side question. We started out the story, we said that how did this whole story begin, is that Reb Chiya had worms infesting his flax. So the question is, how could that be that there were worms infesting Reb Chiya's flax? Rabin Bar Abba says, Misha'olu b'nei ha'goyla, ever since the people from Golos, meaning not ever since the people from Babel, came up to Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says, we don't mean when they came up to build the second Mishmikdash, we mean hundreds of years later, we mean in Rebbe's time, when the Bnei HaGoyla, in particular, when the Bnei HaGoyla, you had a huge migration of Jews from Babel that came to Eretz Yisrael. So once they came, and as Rashi says, the Shahoy Chassidim, they were Chassidish people. So therefore, in their schus, Poskua Zikin v'hazvoyt v'haruchet v'haramim. Therefore, Zikin, which is shooting stars or comets, and Zvoyt, which is earthquakes, v'haruchet and strong winds, hurricanes, whatever, v'haramim and thunder, all stopped in Eretz Yisrael, because these are all bad things. So they all stopped in the schut of these Bnei Goyla. V'lehech mitziyenim, and from then on, their wine in Eretz Yisrael didn't go sour. V'lelokah pishtonim, and their flax did not get damaged by worms or whatever. V'nosnu chachamim enem, v'rab chiyo banav. And the chachamim put their eyes on, and they attributed this specifically to the schut of Rav Chiya and his sons. So we see that Rav Chiya and his sons had tremendous schut, that their schut saved all the people in Eretz Yisrael from having these things happen to them, including that their flax shouldn't go bad. So why all of a sudden are we saying that Reb Chiya's own flax is going bad? The answer is that's exactly that. You know what? Reb Chiya's and his son's schus helps for the rest of the world, helps for the rest of the Jewish people. But it doesn't help in this world. Obviously, in Olam Haba, it helps for them. But in Olam Haza, it doesn't. Their own schus doesn't necessarily help them in this world. Kidder Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, and that is like what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, b'chol yom v'yom baskol yotzes v'emeres. Every single day during Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's lifetime. Now, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was a tremendous tzaddik, but he was also very, very poor. So every day during his lifetime, a baskol would come out and say, "Kol ha'olam kula nizin b'shul Chanina b'ni." The whole world is being sustained, is being kept fed and nourished in the schus of my son Chanina, the Chanina bni, Daila, the Kav Charuvin, the Erev Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos. Meanwhile, my son Chanina is making do with a calf of with a calf of carobs from one Erev Shabbos to the next. In other words, he's barely making ends meet. So the same way as his schus was great enough to sustain the whole world, but he himself was still very, very poor, the same thing. Reb Chiya and his sons, their schus helped the rest of the Jewish people, but it didn't necessarily help for themselves in Olam Hazeh. And therefore, they could be having worms in their flax when everybody else is being spared that. So the Torah of Chaim says an interesting verse on that. Why, indeed, should that? What's the logic? What's the justice? Why should that be so? This is an interesting thing. We know that Hashem has a midas chesed and Hashem has a midas gvura. Usually, what should happen is half the people at any given time, Hashem should be treating them with midas chesed, and the other half with midas gvura. Meanwhile, what happens is when you have a tremendous tzaddik in the generation, like Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, or like Rabbi Chiya and his sons, what happens is they can be counted as if they were a larger number of people, which is a concept that we find in many places in Torah, that a tzaddik is considered like a much greater number of regular people. So therefore, they can be treated with midas gvura, and therefore that takes away that now much fewer people, maybe not even any of the people, have to be treated with midas gvura of Hashem, and therefore they can all be judged. They can all be treated and judged now with midas chesed. So therefore, they can have the gvura of having to live off a calf of charuvim or having worms in their flax or whatever. And meanwhile, everybody else is spared that because everybody else gets to enjoy the chesed of Hashem. This line, by the way, Bishvil Chanina Bni, there's a vort from the Baal Shem Tov, which is brought in a number of places in Chiddus, that Bishvil literally means in the path. So besides that, it's a simple meaning, that it means that the whole world is sustained in the schus of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, it also means that he opened up a path, Min HaShemayim, for everybody else's parnasa to come down to earth. Everybody else is sustained Bishvil in the path of Chanina Bni, the path that he opened up from Shemayim to earth. By the way, another reason that Mepharshim give for this logic, why should Reb Chiya have worms in his flax and Reb Chanina ben Dosa have to be living on a kav charuvim, etc. Another idea behind it is also because they don't want to lose even the tiniest bit of their olam haba. As you have the famous story also involving Reb Chanina ben Dosa involving the table leg min hashamayim, that he was going to be given a golden table leg, and his wife told him, but then you're losing part of your reward in olam haba. So they end up having the hardest time in Olam Haza, so that way their reward in Olam Haba is 100% complete. Whereas the average person is not getting a 100% reward in Olam Haba anyway, so therefore they may as well have it good in the world in the course of the tzaddik. Mishnah says, now, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that if a cheresh or shoiter or cotton shecht, normally we assume that their shechita is possible. So over here, if they shechted, v'acherim royenoisam, if other people are watching them, which therefore then we said that their shechita is kosher, because the other people who are watching them can make sure that it was a valid shechita. Then chayev l'chafes. So now, whoever sees the blood over there is required to do kisi adam. The cheresh shoyt of a cotton themselves, fine, aren't necessarily chayev because they're not chayev in mitzvahs in general. But whoever else sees the blood over there is chayev to cover the blood. Beinam lebein asman potim l'chafes. But on the other hand, if they shechted alone and nobody was watching them, then you're potter from covering the blood because then we assume that it was like a nevela, that it was a botched shechita. V'chein le'inin oseves b'noi, the same thing as far as oseves b'noi, the topic of the previous parak. Some same thing. If you have a cheresh shot of a cotton shechted, if other people are watching them, also lishchet achareim, then you're not allowed to shecht that animal's mother or daughter on the same day. Beinam lebein asman. But if they shechted alone and nobody was watching, where we assume therefore the shechita was possible, Reb Meir matir lishchet achareim. Reb Meir says that then you're allowed to shecht after them, because not because Reb Meir assumes that it was definitely no good, and therefore the animal is definitely nevela. The first animal that was shechted is definitely nevela. The Chum says also because just in case, after all, maybe they did do a good shechita, maybe they somehow did manage to do a good shechita. However, the Chachamim do agree, she'im shachat, that if you shechted the second animal, she'ein es sofer gesalboyim, you can't get malchus for it, because after all, stop it, because you don't know, you don't even know whether it was necessarily an aveira, because again, if the first one really was an aveira, and it might have been, because we don't know, we weren't there to see whether they did a valid shechita, so then the second one wouldn't be, so the second one wouldn't be also to shech, so therefore you wouldn't get malchus for it. The Gemara assumes, now like this, we have two cases in the Mishnah, one involving Kisi Adam and one involving Oseves B'noi. Only by Oseves B'noi are we seeing that Reb Meir and the Chachamim are disagreeing. The implication seems to be that in the first part of the Mishnah, the Chachamim agree with Reb Meir that if the Cheresh Shoit B'Katan shechted alone, then you don't have to do Kisi Adam. So the question is, what's the difference? Why is it that in the first part of the Mishnah they don't argue with Reb Meir? They should require to do Kisi Adam just to be on the safe side. What if they did the Shechita Bein Levein Asman? Maybe it was a good Shechita after all. Shouldn't you have to do Kisi Adam to be on the safe side? Umayshna Sefer Depligi. Why are they only arguing in the Sefer about Oseves B'noi and saying that you can't just in case it was a valid Shechita? The answer is, no, because like this, in the first part of the Mishnah, if we were to say that you're required to do Kisi Adam after a Cheresh Shoit V'Katan Shechita Amri, then people are going to mistakenly think, Shechita Maliyasi. People are going to think, hey, you have to do Kisi Adam. Look at this. The Chachamim told us that we have to do Kisi Adam. Obviously, it must have been a good Shechita. Therefore, they're going to think it was a valid shechita, and then people might end up eating from that shechita, and they can't do that because it's a suffix, whether it was good or not. Sefer Nami, and then in the Sefer, on the other hand, Kibin to Ka'amri Rabbanon. So that's the answer. That's why the Rabbanon are not arguing in the Reisha, because we don't want to mislead people into thinking, if you have to do Kisi Adam, that means it was a good shechita. The problem with that is Sefer Nami. Why don't we say in the Sefer the same logic, given to Ka'amri Rabbanon also Lishchet Achareim, if the Rabbanon are telling us against Reb Meir that you're not allowed to shecht the second animal of the pair once the Cheresh Shoit V'Katan shechted the first one, don't you have the same problem? Amri Shechita Mal Yasehi. People are going to think it was a valid Shechita, the first one, and they're going to end up eating from the Shechita. If you're going to say that in one half of the Mishnah, then you should say the same thing in the other half of the Mishnah. The answer is, because in the Sefer, that's not such a problem, because if you don't shech the second one, people are not going to necessarily realize that that's because you're davka avoiding shechting the second one because it's osur. Amri, people are going to say, okay, bisur, the light coming by your light. All right, you know why the next person is not shechting the next animal, because right now he doesn't need meat. People are not going to realize that you're davka avoiding shechting that second animal because of the problem of oseves b'noi. The problem is, in that case, Reisha Nami, in that case, you could go, going back to the Reisha, the case of Kisi Adam, also Amri Lanaka Chaseru Tzarech, you could argue the same thing. Tell him that you should have to do Kisi Adam just to be on the safe side. It's not going to mislead people, because people are going to say, you know why you're doing Kisi Adam? Because you want to clean up your backyard. You don't want a pool of blood all over the place over there. So the Gemara answers back, okay, well, if you're going to say that, shachat ba'ash b'mayit l'meimer, nu, and what are you going to say if you shecht it over a garbage heap? Obviously, there, if you were going to do Kisi Adam, it would be very misleading. And bali molech mayit l'meimer, you could ask the same question, what if somebody comes to ask Beis Din, should I cover the blood? Then wouldn't it be the same kind of misleading situation that if Beis Din tells him, yes, go and cover it, then he's going to think that means that, you know, why'd they tell me to cover it? Must be it was a good shechita. So that doesn't seem to be a good answer. You can't say that in the Reisha doing Kisi Adam will necessarily not lead to misleading, to a misleading conclusion. It might very well lead to a misleading conclusion. For example, if the Cheresh showed to Bekat and Shechted over a garbage heap, and you have to go and cover it to be on the safe side, other people are going to see he covered it, even though it's on a garbage heap, and there was no reason to cover it, just to keep the backyard clean. So obviously he must have been doing it because it really needed Kisei Adam, and therefore obviously it must have been a valid Shechta. So you have the same misleading problem. So that could be a good reason why the Reisha, the Chachamim, agree that you shouldn't do Kisei Adam. Okay, the problem is you could say the same thing on the Sefer. The Litai Meich, according to your own logic, Sefer Nami, Bolvi Molech Ma'ich Lamemer. And Nu, what are you going to say in the Sefer? You're arguing that in the Sefer there's more of a problem. You're going to argue that in the Sefer there's a reason why we could say it's not so misleading to avoid shechting after it, because you can argue that people are just going to see. They're going to see you're not shechting, and they're going to say, okay, you're not shechting because you don't happen to need meat. You could ask the same thing. And if you go to ask a Shaila and they tell you don't shech, aren't you going to be misled in the same way? You're going to think that means the first one was a valid shechita. So after all, said and done, there can't be a good reason to distinguish between the Reisha about Kisei Adam and the Sefer about Oseh Vesenai. Either way, if you were to ask a Shaila, and in the Reisha they tell you cover the blood of the Shechira Shoto Vakat and the Shechita, and in the Sefer they tell you don't shecht on the same day as him, the Oseh Vesenai, you're going to be misled into thinking that the Shechira Shoto Vakat and the Shechita was valid. And you can't do that because it's a topic. So again, why is it then that in the Reisha the Chachamim do not disagree, and in the Sefer they do? Now, Ela Rabbanan Akula Milsa Plihi. We have to answer that as a matter of fact, the Chachamim do disagree in both cases. They disagree in the Reisha also. This that we said in the Mishnah, that if they shechted on their own, Potter Melechasis, the Chachamim would actually disagree with that and say that you are chayav to cover the blood. So why is it they only argue in the Sefer? The Natri Leila Rav Meir Ad-Damastik Olamilsa, that what it is, Rav Meir is the author of our Mishnah, so they waited until Rav Meir finished his statement, V'hadir Pligi Ilavei, and then they argued with him. But not to say they wouldn't argue in the first case. They do, in fact, argue on both cases. They just say the first part of the Mishnah about Kisei Adam, where a mayor says Potter Melechasis, the Chachamim didn't yet argue with him because they waited to see what he's going to finish up saying. Then when he says the same thing with Oseh Vesenai, then they inform him that no, we disagree with you on Oseh Vesenai, and implicitly that we also disagree with you on Kisei Adam. So there is, in fact, no difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. In both cases, the Chachamim are not concerned about misleading, because they say that the people are going to think that you're trying to clean up your backyard, or that you didn't need meat, or whatever it is. And even if you go and ask the Shaila, they're not as concerned about that. Whereas your mayor is, so now that's the question. So, Bishleimer Rabbanan Lachumra. So now we can understand why the Rabbanan say in both cases, it's a suffix, so in both cases you have to go Lachumra. In the first case, you have to do the Kisei Adam to be on the safe side. It may have been a valid shechita. In the safer, you can't shecht Oseh Vesenai because it may have been a valid shechita. So in both cases, they're going l'chumra because it's the din d'oraisa. Ela Rav Meir my timer. Why is Rav Meir saying in both cases, why is he going l'kula in both cases? The answer is Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yishnan, Mechayev Hoyer Rav Meir al shechitasa mishum nevela. As a matter of fact, the answer is Rav Meir is machmir in a different way. Rav Meir says that if a person were to eat from this shechita, he would actually be chayav malchus. In other words, the Chachamim would say it's only a suffix. Maybe they didn't shecht properly, but after all, maybe they did. And if they did, then you can't get malchus for it. You can't get malchus for a suffix. Rav Meir would say there's no question it's nevela. So therefore, and you could even get malchus for it. So because he's machmer on that, then the result is it comes out of kula from that. But therefore, it doesn't. That therefore, Oseh Vesenai and Kisei Adam don't apply. Okay, my timer. Now, why does Rav Meir say that? Amar of Ami, however, Roiv Maasein Mekukolin. Because most things that a Cheresh Shoto Vakat do, when other people aren't watching them, most of the time what they do is going to be messed up. So therefore, in other words, the default assumption is that if a Cheresh Shoto Vakat is shechting and nobody is watching them, the default assumption is going to be that they messed up and they did something wrong in the shechita. So Tosfos points out that Rabbanon will say basically they have a suffix on that point. Maybe Roiv Maaseh and Mekukolin, maybe not. So therefore we don't have any kind of chazaka. Therefore they'll say you don't get malchus for eating it. But on the other hand, we can't be sure. Maybe it was a good shchita. Therefore you need kisei adam, and therefore you have an issue of oisav espinoz. Whereas Reb Meir would say you have a chazaka first of all that the animal was also in general you have a chazaka that the animal was also before you shechted behemah b'chetzes isra and nedes we learned near the beginning of the sechta plus you have most chereshot v'katan amakalkol so you only have what's called mi'uta de mi'uta you only have a minority of a minority that would end up being good. Reb Meir does take minorities into consideration, but not minority of a minority. Therefore, he says the strong likelihood is that this animal is, in fact, usur to eat on the basis of a chazaka plus roiv. Therefore, he'll say you could even get malchus for eating it. And because he says you can get malchus even for eating it, therefore, he says you don't need to do kisei adam, and therefore, he says you don't have to worry about oisav espinoz. Okay, so we'll continue on that topic tomorrow, Beth Hashem, and discuss more about Reb Meir's opinion about roiv versus miut. We do have a general concept in Shas that Reb Meir chayish l'miut, that Reb Meir does take miut into consideration as far as various halachas. But we'll see over here how that plays out over here in the dinim of our Mishnah according to Reb Meir.